Alright, good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 19th May 2024 Sunday class. So before our China trip this coming Wednesday, we will have no more classes. So the coming Tuesday class will be cancelled. Then as usual, today is our Sunday class where we will continue with our sharing on the Heart Sutta class. We are at page 30, lesson 5 of the Heart Sutta class. Okay, then as usual, we will compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall have the physical puja. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô A Di Đà Phật. Nam mô A Di Đà Phật. Nam mô A Di Đà Phật. Nam mô Di Lặc Phật. Nam mô Di Lặc Phật. Nam mô Di Lặc Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Di Sanh Vương Bồ Tát. Nam mô Di Sanh Vương Bồ Tát. Nam mô Di Sanh Vương Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Arahaṃ Sammā Sambuddho Bhagavān Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ Abhivādhayami Sukkhato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammaṃ Namassami Suppatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghaṃ Namami Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Pānātipātā virammani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi, Ādīnādānā virammani sikkhāpadaṃ Samādhiyāmi kāmesu miccācāra vērāmani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi mosāvādā vērāmani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi sūrāmērayā macchāpamādatāna vērāmani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Bhajan. Badang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Invocation to the Devas in this universe, in the entirety, Let the dainties or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Suakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pacyatang veditabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidam chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can visit that and we shall commence our Heart Sutta class. So, fifth Heart Sutta class. This one was delivered about 12 years ago at Wu Ping Jing Se on the 11th of March 2012. Okay, so we continue. Short notes taken to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the sutta this class. So part one is a recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. So here we will continue from where we were introducing Master Xuanhua. Xuanhua was the 45th patriarch of Sakyamuni Buddha's lineage. Yeah. Means after the Parinibbana of Sakyamuni Buddha, the first patriarch from India, it was passed down to Mahakasapa. Then that line continued until Bodhidharma, then they transmit it over to China. That's why in China they have their own patriarch lineage. Until Bodhidharma transferred to Venerable Hui Ke. So Bodhidharma become the first patriarch of China. Then Hui Ke, the second patriarch, then Hui Neng, Liu Zhu, sixth patriarch. But you had to add in the one before. So total until Xian Hua's lineage is 45th. So in the year 1948, after 3,000 miles of travel, Master Xian Hua reached Nanhua Monastery near Canton and received the wonderful mind-to-mind transmission of all Buddhas from Venerable Master Xu Yun and became the 45th patriarch in the line of succession from Sakyamuni Buddha. That's why it was mentioned from Sakyamuni Buddha. Then Master Xu Yun is also the teacher of Master Poyen Zhanglao, the late Poyen Zhanglao, who is also the abbot of the Mahayana Vihara Wu Ping Jing Se that invited me over to share the Buddha Dharma, especially the Heart Sutta. Okay, then we have this Venerable Master Xu Yun. He is the teacher of Master Xian Hua and Master Poyen Zhanglao. And he is the 44th patriarch in the lineage of succession from Sakyamuni Buddha. So we have a brief introduction of who Xu Yun Lao Hesang is. He lived until the age of 120 years old. That's why he is a very famous Mahayana teacher, a master. Xu Yun was born in the year 1840. The exact birthday is 26 April 1840 in Fujian, China. And he passed away in 1959 at the age of about 120. He is one of the most influential Zen masters of the past two centuries, and arguably the most important in modern Chinese history. Unlike Confucianism or other branches of Christianity, unlike Catholicism, not Confucianism, Catholicism and other branches of Christianity, there was no organization in China that embraces all the monastic in China at that time, not even all monastic within the same sect. Traditionally, each monastery was autonomous, with authority resting on each respective abbot. This changed with the rules of the Communist Party. In 1953, the Chinese Buddhist Association was established at a meeting with 121 delegates in Beijing. The meeting also elected a chairman, four honorary chairmen, seven vice chairmen, a secretary general, three deputy secretary general, 18 members of a standing committee, and 93 directors. The four elected honorable chairmen were the Dalai Lama, the Panchen Lama, the Grand Lama of Inner Mongolia, and Xu Yun himself. Though Zen is less well known in the West compared to the Japanese Zen, the teaching of Xu Yun has persisted within Asia, and he is still a major figure of Pure Land Buddhism in East Asia. Outside of China, the influence of his teaching is strongest in Southeast Asia, particularly in Vietnam and Myanmar, as well as in America, where his teaching was transmitted through well-known monastic students such as Master Shen Hua, Venerable Ji Din Shakye, and Venerable Fo Yuan Shakye. Then there is a section of his life history, Middle Age and Enlightenment of Master Xun. So at the age of 43, Xun had by then left the home life for more than 20 years. But he had not yet completed his practice in the Bao. He had not repaid his parents' kindness. And so he vowed to again make a pilgrimage to Nanhai. From Fa Hua Temple all the way to Qingliang Peak at Wutai San, or the Five Peak Mountain of the Northwest. The Bodhi Mandala of Manjushri. So we'll be going there soon. We will fly there, I think, on the 22nd of this month, which is 4 more days. And when he went there, Master Xun made a full prostration for every three steps. So, San Bu Yi Bai, three step, one bow. He prayed for the rebirth of his parents in the Pure Land. Along the way, Xun is said to have met a beggar called Wen Ci, who twice saved his life. After talking with the monk at the Five Peak Mountain, Xun came to believe that the beggar had been a manifestation of Manjushri, Wen Su Pusa. Having achieved single-mindedness of mind, Xun traveled west and south. Making his way through Tibet, he visited many monasteries and holy places, including the Potala, the high seat of the Dalai Lama, and Tashihupo Mountain, the seat of Panchalama. He traveled through India and Ceylon and then crossed the sea to Burma. During this time of wandering, Xun felt his mind clearing and his health growing stronger. Xun composed a large number of poems during this period. After returning to China during Xun's 53rd year, he joined other venerable masters, Bu Zhao, Yu Xie, and Yinglian, to cultivate together. They climbed Chiu Hua San and repaired the hut at Chui Feng Summit, where Dhamma Master Bu Zhao expounded the Maha Vaipu Ya Buddha Avatasaka Sutta, or popularly called Flower Adornment Sutta. When Xun was 56, the abbot Yu Liang of Kaoming Temple in Yangzhou planned to convene a continuous 12-week session of Dhyan meditation. So it's like a retreat, 12 weeks over 3 months. Preparing to leave, the group asked Xun to go first. After reaching Tikang, he had to cross the river but had no money. The ferry left without him. As he walked along the river edge, he suddenly lost his balance and fell into the rushing water, where he walked helplessly for a day and night and was caught in a fisherman's net. He was carried to a nearby temple where he was revived and treated for his injuries. Feeling ill, he nevertheless returned to Yangzhou. When asked by Cao Ming whether he would participate in the coming week of meditation, he politely declined without revealing his illness. The temple had rules that those who were invited had to attend or else face punishment. In the end, Cao Ming had Xu Yun beaten with a wooden ruler. He willingly accepted this punishment, although it worsened his condition. For the next few days, Xu Yun sat in continuous meditation. In his autobiography, he wrote, "In the purity of a singleness of mind, I forgot all about my body. 20 days later, my illness vanished completely. From that moment, without all my thoughts, entirely, sorry, from that moment, with all my thoughts entirely wiped off." See, these are the key words, that's why I mark it in bold. "With all my thoughts entirely wiped off," means he was able to realize the state of no thought, silent mind. She said, "After that, my practice took effect throughout the day and night. My steps were as swift as if I was flying in the air. One evening after meditation, I opened my eye and suddenly I saw I was in brightness, similar to broad daylight, in which I could see everything inside and outside of the monastery." But he knew that this occurrence was only a mental state and that it was not at all rare. He did not become attached to this achievement, but continue his single-minded investigation of the topic. Who is mindful of the Buddha? Over and over again, he dwelt into this topic without interruption. So here, when they mention who is mindful of the Buddha, means who is aware of the Buddha. Mindfulness and awareness is the same. And in Mandarin, they always say "sei zai nian fo," means who is reciting the mindfulness of the Buddha. Then, during the 12th lunar month, on the third evening of the third week of the session, after 6 hours of sitting meditation, the attendants make his round, filling up the teacup. Xu's hand was burned by spilling boiling water, and his cup fell to the floor. At the sound of the crash, the root of his doubt was instantly severed. He was joyous beyond words at having fulfilled his lifelong ambition. It was as if he had just awakened from a dream, and he observed how the condition of the past unraveled. Then Xu Yun's first explanation say, "A cup fell to the ground with a sound clearly heard." And the third stanza is the best. "As space was pulverized, the mad mind came to a stop." That's how he realized cessation, complete cessation. Then, meaning of "we accord with condition" or "flow with the Dhamma." The word "accord" means not to resist. Hence, there is harmony and no conflict. Conflict means disharmony, argument, etc. So to flow with the Dhamma means the same. It does not resist or argue. We are accepting things as they are. Or we are seeing things as they are without delusion and let things be. It's like martial art. If we were to resist and defend, we are rigid kung fu, then both will get hurt. But if you can use tai chi qian to flow with it, Then Tai Chi will send the force back to the aggressor, who will be hurt by their own force. Then next session, 1.4. The phenomenal world is an illusionary world of consciousness. So this one, by now, most of you all would have got the understanding, huh? Because our phenomenal world is actually an illusionary world of consciousness. Because through our senses and our conscious mind, we can become conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile, feel, and think. And how do we become conscious? We become conscious through consciousness. Upon contact of mind with the respective sense basis, arises the respective sense of consciousness. Like our seeing consciousness, we can become, or we can become capable of seeing the seeing consciousness, the hearing consciousness, the smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. So this is how we arise consciousness through our senses and our mundane mind trapped inside. So upon contact, the respective sense or consciousness come to be. Then as per the Buddha's analogy, consciousness is like a magician or an illusionist that create magic or illusion for us to see. So every moment of consciousness, the respective sense-based consciousness will come to be. And this consciousness that manifests is just mind-make, a conscious moment. It arises and it passes away. But in between, through delusion, the mundane mind still react and created all the sankhara activity, emotion, and movement. That's how sakkayadity come to be. And that's how the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion manifest. So when you are mindful and aware, you can become aware of what happened. Then you start to understand that all this consciousness, they are just the conscious mind through the mental arising and passing away. No reality. That's why it's illusionary. So the phenomenal world is the world of consciousness and form. We only come to perceive it through our consciousness. So that's the reason why the title is The Phenomenal World is an Illusionary World of Consciousness. Then like the Surangama Sutta, it was explained clearly. Perception of form is consciousness. Why? Because this is mundane perception. So mundane perception gives rise to that mundane consciousness. And when you can develop the direct seeing, when you can see things as they are without the word, without the concept, without the conditioning and belief system, then you see things as they are. Because there is no word to describe, no concept, nothing. That's why you can see things as they are, without reality. And that is the direct seeing, seeing truth, seeing things as they are, without any words, concept, or belief system and ideology to describe it. Yeah. And even this direct seeing, although it's related to awakening and wisdom, you have to transcend because it is still part of duality. So not until you have developed the wisdom to transcend duality, You cannot go beyond the present moment awareness, which may be the highest in life. But when you are aware, you will see the unreality of even the present moment awareness. It comes and it goes. Split second is dead and gone. And everything just arises and passes away. So how real can life be? When you are able to witness them to your pure awareness within, you will come to an understanding that the reality within life and existence, which is the present moment, which is the highest in life, is just a transient moment, no real meaning. That's why it's illusionary. You cannot hold on to it, you cannot cling on to it. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not you. Hence empty, non-self. So all this, through the silent awareness within, the pure awareness, you can develop the understanding. That's why the phenomenal world is an illusionary world of consciousness. So when you start to perceive that through mundane perception, then perception of form becomes consciousness. That is mundane seeing. Whereas it's non-perception via the direct seeing, you see things as they are. You don't perceive anything. Thing is just the way it is. Then we go to the notes. At that time, I need to define to you what is a phenomenon. So this definition is very good. Anything that is perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. So this one, if you check up the dictionary, the definition is correct. Anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. Then how do you know the world? That question is very important. How do you come to know the world? How do you interact with the world? We need the senses. We need the contact, that trigger of the respective consciousness. That's why I put here, via our consciousness and mental perception, isn't it? When you are mindful, you can see this. And since consciousness and mental perception are just mental images in our mind that arise and pass away continuously, hence the reason why it is said the phenomenal world is actually an illusionary world of consciousness. Empty, no reality. It just come and go. Then the Mahayana also has a very famous saying. Perception of form is consciousness, whereas it's non-perception, it's wisdom. So this is the most profound quote, quoted by the Surangama Sutta, Leng Yen Jing. And the enlightened beings will understand. Now you understand why the Mahayana always say that the phenomenal world is a world of consciousness. This is also the reason why the Surangama Sutta say consciousness created the world and the continent, the stars and the universe, and the knower becomes the living being. Through thought and form delusion, the knower deludedly cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind, or what we call the living beings, thinking that it is real, and this is what they are. Hence the deluded living beings cling onto the false, becomes the traveler in space and time, wandering through samsara and undergoing birth and death for eternity. So this one is a very beautiful description. You think the knower is you. Okay, reread the notes. True mind does not stir. True suchness or ru ru pu tong. So this ru ru pu tong is a very good description, yeah? Because ru ru is true suchness. Yeah? And that true mind has got nothing. It's just that nature. It cannot stir, it cannot do anything. But from there, a lot of things can happen. Mundane mind without wisdom is the discriminating thinking mind. So this one, our mundane mind, you need wisdom to tame it, to develop the understanding for it not to get itself entangled with delusion and life. So mundane mind without wisdom means you are heedless, you haven't cultivated the awareness nature within to awaken, to realize the truth, to understand what is going on. That's the reason why mundane mind without wisdom is the discriminating mind, fen bie xing. When you start to discriminate means based on your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, you react and stir your mind. That's how it happened. Then number two is definition of hallucinatory. Thinking that it is real, but it's actually not real. That's why it's like hallucinatory means that word is hallucinate, you know, to hallucinate means like create not real one, means like dreaming and all that. Hallucinate is actually worse than dreaming, means no such thing, but you hallucinate until as if there is something. Then number three, Jay Krishnamurti's famous quote, the observer is the observer. Here, it means seeing things as they are via the direct seeing without words. In a similar way, the Buddha also taught the same. The Buddha used the word in the seeing. It's only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see, hence no delusion. Otherwise, the moment you see, you will associate and cling on to what you see or what you observe. Delusion or sakkayadity has already arisen. So this one is very important. Maybe I will draw it on the whiteboard for you to understand. Krishnamurti always say, the observer is the observer. That one, the meaning is very deep. It means seeing things as they are, is awareness. There is no one to see. It is just the awareness nature that is aware. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. No sakkayadity, no content of consciousness, deluded, has gone in. So that pure direct seeing, that is what wisdom is all about. Yeah. But most people cannot do it because of your delusion, sakkayadity, self-delusion. You cling to that consciousness. You believe that consciousness is you, the aggregates of mind are you. That's why the moment, like the physics experiment, upon contact, the light bulb lights up. That lighting up is actually the sense door become conscious. But we deludedly associate with that conscious moment. We label it, I see, therefore I am. I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I tactile, feel, and think. There is sakkayadity, self-delusion. So I will draw it on the whiteboard. You have the organ, the eye. So this one, they always say see or observe. So this one is object, huh? Or external form. So what happened is, they call this the observer. So this one, observer, become the subject or entity. So you say, you are the observer. So this is the I, the illusionary I. So this one is the ego or personality. And this is sakkayadity, self-delusion. So this is mundane seeing or mundane observation. So when you don't have the Dhamma understanding and the mindfulness within, you cannot see the reality. You cannot understand what actually happened. So according to J. Krishnamurti, he said, when you realize through the direct seeing, then you understand it differently. And the Buddha call it seeing things as they are. So this direct seeing is the pure awareness seeing or silent mind. Pure awareness seeing. That's why you can see things as they are. So when you are able to do that, what happens is this observer disappear. Observer is the observer. You will come to this understanding. Observer is the observer. Why? Because when this one don't have the sakkayadity or the egoic mind, this one, the observer, is just the consciousness. Understand? And the consciousness that observe something is still a consciousness, understand? That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is no one to see. It's just the seeing consciousness. So this seeing and the seeing consciousness is one. That's why Krishnamurti came to understand the observer is the observer. Because both are consciousness. It's the thought. Why did you separate it to sakkayadity? So when the observer is the observer, means things are just the way it is, not what you think. Not the way you see, or the way other people see. Consciousness, observing consciousness, why did you go and separate it to your own sakkayadity, self-delusion? That's why without that understanding, living being will always be trapped in reality. They cannot awaken to it. They cannot come out of it. They cannot realize this understanding, which is very, very important to understand life, to go beyond reality, to transcend reality. Okay? So this part, hopefully, you all can understand. So by now, this note number 3, hopefully you all can understand. Why J. Krishnamurti said the observer is the observer? And why I say this is seeing things as they are. We are the direct seeing without words. And why is it similar to what the Buddha has already taught us? In the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. And there is no one to see. Hence, no self-delusion or sakkayadity. Otherwise, the moment you associate and cling onto what you see or what you observe, delusion or sakkayadity has already arisen. That's why you will be trapped. So the final summary is very clear. In short, the Buddha said, the first noble truth, final summary. It is due to one's sakkayadity or self-delusion that grasps onto the five aggregate of form and mind, giving rise to the grasping aggregate, upadana khandas, that I call dukkha. So when you realize this, you awaken and you break free. Otherwise, you will be trapped in reality and you will always associate and cling onto the five aggregate. And when the aggregate still have sakkayadity or delusion, it become grasping aggregate. The I, the ego, the personality is being strengthened. That's why it keep on creating wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. The evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion born of sakadity is there. It continuously build up and entangle itself more and more, more and more. So understanding all this is what the Buddhist meditation of pure awareness or awareness-based meditation is all about. Sakayaditi. To root out sakayaditi, you need to have the silent mind, the awareness nature within, to see things as they are and awaken. Okay? Then we move on to the part two, which is meditation, Q&A session. And after the halfway session, we normally have a 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. And after that, we will develop the sharing through question and answer and meditation reporting session. Question one. Can visualization, like visualizing a blue sky, be used as a technique to develop mindfulness? What do you think? Can visualization, like visualizing a blue sky, be used as a technique to develop mindfulness? You can go and reflect on it, contemplate on it. Because this was the question by one of the Kayamita there at that time. Because sometimes you go to retreat, different teacher or different guide who teach the meditation, they will teach you all the various type of technique to meditate. Sometimes they find it very amusing and very interesting, very nice. And maybe initially it works for them. Then they say, yeah, you try. You visualize a blue sky. Of course, you cannot deny. Visualizing a blue sky is much, much better than lost in thought, heedlessly thinking of sad thing, negative thing, unhappy thing. But you are asking a question of how to develop mindfulness. If you know how to develop it, then not only the blue sky, everything that arises within your consciousness, the phenomenal world, you can develop mindfulness. That's why I call it specific phenomenal awareness. You can be aware of them. Aware of all the specific phenomena that arise. It can be within your seeing consciousness, your hearing consciousness, your smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness. Aware means that phenomena and your awareness move as one. That's why I call it specific phenomenal awareness. You don't perceive, you don't label, you do not cling, grasp, and get yourself entangled or lost in that thought process. You remain mindful, aware. In that sense, everything can be developed as a skillful means or technique to develop mindfulness. Like anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. As long as your awareness and the in and out breath can move as one, you will develop sati. But when your thought is active, sati will be gone. Yeah, what is sati? Awareness before the knowing, before the arising of thought, the aggregates of mind. So you can stay away. Anything can be used. But very few people understand. Anyway, I will read to you my answer at that time. This type of visualization technique, like any other skillful means, if used with understanding, can bring about the training of the mind to be peaceful and calm. Just like auto-suggestion, we have music, sound, and vibration, etc. But the disadvantage of this type of skillful means is that it usually only works for a few times, for the first few times. And after a while, like good food, it loses its effectiveness. The other type of visualization technique using kasinas or the 40 object of meditation used to develop one-pointedness concentration or samatha concentration, followed by the development of jhana and deep concentration leading to all the other psychic ability, is more dangerous unless it's done with understanding and preferably under the guidance of a very good and very skillful meditation teacher. If one clings and attaches to such one-pointedness concentration and special jhanic ability, then one can get trapped and chances of deviation from the true awareness-based meditation of developing wisdom to free the mind from all suffering can happen. The mind that is in one-pointedness concentration is a conditioned mind that is still within the field of thought, and all the anusaya or latent tendency of the mind are still suppressed, especially the five mental hindrances, and not rooted out as yet. Such a mind is not a free mind with clear awareness within and samadhi born of equanimity or wisdom. So this one is just to let people know. Just in the early days, object of meditation to concentrate, to focus, to develop strong samatha mind state or strong jhanic state of concentration, which they call jhanas, are very popular. So this one is to explain to people who don't understand. So whatever you do, if you don't develop mindfulness and awareness to see things as they are and awaken, then be careful. Because the energy field thought based on, they will lead to a lot of psychic ability, which may trap the meditator or cultivator. Then if you don't know how to come out of it, it can trigger off a lot of karmic side effect. Because you reap what you sow. Before you have the wisdom and the understanding, you play with energy, with psychic, it will have its repercussion. Okay, the next one is 2.2. The wisdom of let things be. This one, somebody asked a very good question. They always hear me use the word let things be. Then the question is how to apply the wisdom of let things be to solve all our life problems. So here, you must pay attention. I read to you the answer. With right views born of wisdom to accept the reality of the moment, we will not react or allow the mind to stir when confronted with the first noble truth. Realities of life and existence means the eight condition. When you do not react or allow your mind to stir, there will be no fear, no worry, no anxiety or any suffering. That is, we just accept the reality and just let things be. After accepting the realities of the moment, because like the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Then with a calm and clear mind, we can weigh our option and act appropriately following Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, to resolve all our life situation or problem amicably. That is, without any negativity or wrong thought to cause our mind to stir. Then we can be at peace, because wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition one's fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, unhappiness, and misery, etc. That's why without wisdom and the right view born of understanding the Buddha Dhamma, one will react in the mind with the dudu, fear, worry, anxiety, etc., born of their wrong view, just like the normal deluded living beings who are heedless, leading to all the mental suffering of grief, hatred, jealousy, sorrow, lamentation, etc. The cause of suffering is always self-delusion or sub-clarity that condition one's delusion to grasp and to cling onto one of the five aggregates of form and mind. So this is the second noble truth. The cause of arising of suffering is grieving, grasping, clinging. We are sakayaditi. Then under the third noble truth, the Buddha says, suffering need not be if one has the wisdom and enlightenment. One can realize in the here and the now, Nibbana is possible. Then following the fourth noble truth, which is the way out of suffering, one cultivates the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, leading to the end of all suffering. That's why all this become possible. Okay, we move on. Finish. Oh, very good. I will make use of the time to explain to you how Xuyin develop enlightenment. So I read to you again, then you try to understand. During the 12th lunar month, on the third evening of the 8th week of the session, after 6 hours of sitting meditation, you see, you can sit like a frog. Nothing happened means nothing happened. The attendant make his round, filling up the teacup. Xuyin, Master Xuyin or Venerable Xuyin's Xuyin Lao Zhang's hand was burned by spilling boiling water, and his cup fell to the floor. At the sound of the crash, the roots of his doubt was instantly severed. He was joyous without word at having fulfilled his lifelong ambition. It was as if he had just awakened from a dream, and he observed how the condition of the past unravel. That's why all this is what the Dhamma is all about. The Buddha always said the Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. That's why when this trigger of the awakening, Xuyin understood everything. That's why he was full of joy without words or beyond words. At having fulfilled his lifelong ambition, means his pure wish to realize the enlightenment has finally been realized or wish fulfilled. That's why he said it was as if he just awakened from a dream, and he observed how all the conditions from the past unravel. Means all these are like pre-arranged already for it to happen. Then how come during that 6 hour sitting nothing happened? Then at that moment when the hot tea was accidentally born and spilled onto Xuyin's hand, then at that instant, because it's like that sensation shocked him. So what happened is, when that thing happened, the mind went blank, understand? Because it was a sudden, spontaneous reaction. The mind went blank. Then it only need a phenomena to trigger off. So what phenomena that trigger off is the cracking sound of the cup. That cracking sound, that crunch. That one is the one that trigger off. That's why in the poem is mentioned, a cup fell to the ground with a sound clearly heard. Means the awareness nature within, clearly aware. Then the cessation happened, as space was pulverized the whole of the spacious awareness. Pulverize, may cease. The mundane mind or the mad mind came to a stop. Completely nothing. That's why from there, he become enlightened. That's what enlightenment is all about. But don't be foolish and go and try it. You will be burned, badly burned, I tell you. Unless there are causes and conditions that trigger off, then it's different. But if you think Xu Ying can do it, you also want to try. Best of luck to you. So this one is to explain, to cultivate all the way. Clearly that meditation is not what you think. The awakening can come at the moment when causes and conditions are fulfilled. But it always happens at a time when you are not doing anything. When suddenly the mind completely ceases. It will trigger by what? It depends on the individual's cultivation, the timing and all those things. So all this is what awareness-based cultivation via the awareness nature is. Without awareness, you cannot awaken. You cannot develop the realization. So this one is one of the way. You are having this, what they call, when you are very perceptive of how things arise and how things happen, then you can actually come to understand, even from what you have read, how all the enlightened masters or teachers, how they awaken, all very different. Different causes and conditions trigger all. Then the direct seeing one is the most powerful. But whatever it is, your mind must cease. That's why in the Theravada tradition, I think, after the Buddha passed away, they want to have the first council. Then they wanted Ananda to be in. But Ananda was still a Sotapan at that time. So they want him to speed up to become an Arahant before that first council did. So Ananda tried very hard, but finally, on the last day, almost dawn already, he decided to give up. And when he decided to give up, the mind doesn't hold on to anything, understand? So he free, without knowing it. When you still hold on to that mind, then the awakening cannot happen. So when he decide not to do anything and he gave up already, then suddenly, while he was about to lie down to rest, before his head touched the pillow, he suddenly realized Arahantaship. That's how it can happen. Then there are many Jataka stories at that time of how people become enlightened through just hearing or some form of activity that trigger, like the monk that cannot even remember one stanza. He was given the white cloth by the Buddha as a new object of meditation. And the Buddha asked him to use that white cloth to polish the Buddha image. The more he polished, he realized the more dirty the white cloth was. Then suddenly he awakened and became an Arahant. Because he realized our true mind, the original mind, was actually that pure white cloth. You don't go and use it heedlessly to clean and to do all this and entangle, then it will not become defiled. It becomes defiled because we cling, we grasp, we hold, and we do all those heedless things, the funny thing. So There are many Jataka stories. Even the lady nun, the Bhikkhuniya, there are some Arahan who become enlightened, and they are Bhikkhunis too. And one of them is, while pouring water onto the lake to wash the lake, she was very mindful. The training is already there. Then all of a sudden, before the water that flow out from the lake reached the end, she became Arahant. Yeah. See? Because just observing. Then there was another group of monks that came back from the forest, where they were disturbed by the non-humans there. Then they rushed back, came back near the monastery. They saw the monastery raining very heavily. Then they were mindful and aware, so they were observing. Then from that rainwater, the heavy downpour, that actually hit against the ground and burst. That bursting triggered off a lot of those monks that were there to become enlightened too. That's how it can happen. When you expect it, looking for it, craving for it, it will not happen. Where the thought is still active. But when you decide to let things be, silent everything, then it will trigger. Yeah. So, always remember, don't be too eager to progress or to become enlightened and all those. Just let things be. Have faith. Persevere. Then be sincere, walk the path sincerely, and just let things be. Then make whatever vows, aditan, or bodhisattva aspiration, bodhisattva way aspiration. All this is going to pave the way for you to develop the causes and conditions for progress and awakening to arise. So be sincere, have faith, and just persevere. Silent, persevere, strive on with heedfulness. Just train your mind to be aware, silently aware, and develop the saddha, virya, and sincerity to move on diligently. Means persevere. Yeah. Okay, so now okay, almost 4:12, 4:13. Good. So we stop here. Yeah. Then we will have our 45 minutes of awareness based meditation. Yeah. Okay, you all can slowly mindfully come out of the meditation. Yeah, I saw poaching on the report. So as usual, now second session we'll get poaching to come in. Poaching.
Hello, Amitabha, yeah. Radio, Mrs. Teo, and all Kayamitas. Yeah. Radio, first of all, happy Teacher's Day. Didn't get to say that
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, Sadhu. Thank you. Yeah, so, that night was very good. The sharing was very good.
Yes. So, to honor Brother Teo as my wonderful teacher who taught us well and taught me well, and to give faith to my sister and all Kayamitas today, yeah, I'd like to do the Dharma sharing in daily life. So, Brother Teo, today's before I say about my Dharma in daily life, today's sharing is very, very good because everything that Brother Teo mentioned resonated with me. Because at this stage of my cultivation, I'm being tested again, Brother Teo.
Sadhu.
Yes. Last year I was tested, right?
Yeah.
I was tested. So that test was like, for me, it was very difficult, you know?
Yes.
So that test was very difficult for me because it was, how you said, extremely sudden. And,
yeah.
How do I say? Unexpected. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a while to recover, you know, despite my cultivation, right, my understanding, right, it took a while to recover, okay. And of course, in the end, how you call, pass the test, lah, right, you know, otherwise, I cannot
Definitely, you will
speak
be able to
into
have that understanding. Yeah,
you.
well, your that one is a very rare one, a very very difficult to
Yes.
unravel and develop the understanding one.
Yes, yes, yes.
But luckily, at that time, you have developed the understanding rather deep. So it take you a while because the Dhamma stability can only set in once that contemplative wisdom and understanding stabilize. So at that time you were still quite new, but you have gone in deep. So luckily because of that, finally you can develop the understanding to come out of it.
Yes.
So it's to be expected.
Yes.
Normal people cannot really. Normal people, they
yes.
definitely break down on her.
Yes.
Where got
So
such thing on her?
yes. So but the journey from learning from Radio really helps me a lot to understand not just the listening, the contemplating, but the bhavana as well, the third turning, you know. Because for me, somehow I also listen to Brother Teo Dharma talk, right? I also attend the retreat, right? So all this kind of like give me different levels or layers of understanding, that complement each other, you know. But the meditative training is most powerful, right? Okay. So because even though I just like the Xu Yun, he said he was sitting 6 hours meditation, he don't get anything. But then I'm not sure what kind of meditation he do, but from Ratio, you taught us the awareness based meditation, right? Although we do not have any insight into phenomena during the awareness based meditation, we get into the so called true mind, you know? We go into the true mind. We have not insight anything, but in the true mind, you understand what is in the true mind, you know, itself. Okay. So in that way, even though we don't have any insight of any phenomena, we have that stability of the true mind, the silent mind, you know, which I will come into. Why I say that? Because when I was tested again recently last week, that stability of the true mind, the silent mind, is so very helpful, you know, Brother. So it let me go into that instantaneously, you know, Brother. I don't need to do any meditation, or I said I must stop do my meditation and therefore I don't need to do my true mind. I don't even need to do that. Surprisingly, unexpectedly, I can realize it by itself, you know.
Yes, it will
You know what I
happen
mean?
by
When I was
itself,
being
yeah,
tested.
because you have gone through that stability and
Yes.
understanding.
Yes. So this awareness based meditation, I cannot overemphasize this importance of it, you know. I have to keep saying that it is so important, you know, even though you do not insight into phenomena during your awareness-based meditation when you are entering into the sati, your mind enters sati, right? Although you do not see anything, don't be despair, you know, because that will develop your stability in the true mind itself, you know. And then when you need it will come out very quickly, you know, right?
It will prompt
it's
you
like,
in.
it come out very quickly and then, blah, 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 everything by itself, you know. And you just witness and witness and witness, you know. And then you're saying like, wow, this is marvelous, you know. You know, it's like how you call that? Inconceivable, right?
Yeah, inconceivable. The word is inconceivable.
Inconceivable. Okay, so now I want to explain my Dharma in daily life. So this is what I want to say. Radio, thank you
Sadhu,
for
yeah,
this
Sadhu.
amazing awareness-based meditation. You do not know how important this is until you have been tested. In your life, you know, in your life, and how you can ride through the how you call that difficulty, you know, when you face this I don't know how to explain this called so-called karmic test. I don't know what is the right word to say, but when you have to go through, when you confront this, you know what to do, and it unfolds by itself naturally, automatically, you know. Okay, if you have the awareness-based meditation background and how you call that training. Yeah. Okay. So okay, now I'm going to talk about this event that leads to what I have to confront. I mean, of course, this is unexpected, and these are not the words that I use the words or concept to explain to you, you know, Radio and Kayang class. Okay. So okay, I was it was last week, and I was doing my housework chores as usual, Radio. I do all my duties already. After that, I rested for a while, have a cup of drink, you know. And then I said, you know, I mean, for us, in this kind of weather condition, it's very hot. Bathing is the best way of cooling down, relaxing, you know. So after that, I went to take my shower. But I have to talk to you about this because it happened there, right? Okay? It happens there. So when I was doing my shower, right? So I turn on the shower head and then on the water, right? So I start to bathe, right? Okay? So for me, bathing is a very relaxing activity for me, lah. So I started washing my hair, washing my hair. So I use a shampoo wash, and then I use the brush, you know, the round brush. I mean, ladies use, I don't know about men. I don't think my husband uses. I use only. So I started to use the brush to brush my hair. You know what happened or not, brother? Wow. When I brush the head, suddenly my head felt very painful, you know. I brush it, the brush touched the scalp, suddenly I feel the pain, you know, the unusual pain. Then I said, of course I said, hey, something wrong, okay? So I said, never mind, I do Dharma investigation. Actually, the thing about it is, I have no panic, I have no fear, I have no negativity. You know? I just use my hand to scrub the other head, the other part of my head, because my left head, when I scrub it, wow, so painful, you know. And then after that, I used the hair. I said, okay, never mind, this side pain, I brush the other side, I brush the other side, no pain, no, brother. No pain, okay. So then, after that, I said, I brush again, maybe the pain is come and go, I said, I brush again. Wow, really, you know, very painful. So it's no joke. Then I said, wow, something really serious, So I said, never mind, don't use brush. I use hand, see whether hand also painful or not. So when I use my hand, so-called rub or scrub on my left side of my scalp, your scalp is hard one, right? Right or not?
Yes,
but then,
yes,
that part of my head, totally not hard, you know, brother.
Soft one.
Soft like gel, you know, jelly like that. How come my head no scalp, you know, brother? No skull, you know, like, I don't know what happened, I don't know how to describe it, right? So, there's no scalp, you know, it's totally jelly, lumpy, I don't know what, right? It's like cake icing, lumpy, and soft, you know, okay? Then when I try to brush through it, wow, so painful, I think something wrong with the head, you know, the scalp, you know. Then I said, never mind lah. Anyway, I still have to bathe, you know. So I continue with my shower, you know. The thing is, the shampoo is all over my head, right? So I just, never mind lah. Just use the shower head, wash it lah, rinse it lah, you know, no problem, you know. So there's no negativity, no fear, no panic, right? Okay, then after that, I continue doing all my cleaning as usual, no change. I just do all the scrubbing of my body and things like that. After that, I finish, right?
Yeah.
Okay, finish already, I put on my clothes, right? Then after that, I say, hey, as usual, I use a towel to towel dry my head, lah, you know, my hair, you know. Then I do as per normal, lah, you know, the cutting, just don't do the part on the left side, lah, just the right side, lah, you know, as you know, just do that, lah, just get it dry, you know. And then after that, you know what I do next? I look at the mirror. I say, I need to investigate, is it? What's wrong with my head, you know? Right? So I investigate. So I said, alamak, cannot see anything, you know.
because the hair is covering the
Yeah,
scalp
it's
mah, so
covering
I cannot
it.
see anything. So never mind lah. I said that I laughed to myself. You know, wow, so amazing. I laughed to myself and said, "Aiyah, like that, no need to comb my hair, right? Correct or not?" So I said, "Never mind. I don't comb my hair lah, since the pain lah." So I walk out of the toilet. Okay, as I walk out the toilet, something happened again. You know, okay, wow, the mind and body shifted, you know, brother. The, I don't know, called transform, you know, transform, you know, the mind and body transform. The mind and body, first thing is what, you know, I notice, I kind of aware, I have this awareness, that my body and my mind totally relax until my body and mind feel very flexible, you know, brother, very
Wah,
relaxed,
sadu,
flexible,
sadu,
very. They call it malleable, you know, malleable is
yeah, correct, correct,
it very malleable, you know, it's like, oh, you know, like I also cannot describe it. It's just malleable, very flexible, like I also don't know how to describe. It's just like that, lah. Then after that, transformation happened again, you know.
Oh, sadu.
And I went into where, you know, I went into the true mind, the luminous,
Sadu,
bright,
sadu,
true
sadu,
mind, you know,
sadu.
radio. So in that mind, right? There's nothing going on, no activity, no sankhara activity, no
Definitely,
mental state, nothing, okay? So it's still and calm and steady and collected, unwavering, okay? So after that, wow, you know what happened next, you know? Another thing happened, you know? Wow, the what you call that? Energy, you know, come out, you know? The
Wah,
soothing
sadu.
energy come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Wow, very soothing, you know, brother. It's like,
It heal you. Yeah, it'll heal you.
How to call that? It covered the whole body of mine.
Engulf the
It
whole body.
yes, I was engulfed. It just keep coming out, keep coming out from the heart, keep coming out, keep coming out, you know, keep coming out, keep coming out. Okay, until it's like completely engulfed, right? And then very soothing, right? Then after that, another thing happened again. You know, it showed it to me, you know, the idea. Okay, whatever happened, whatever arise, it passed away, you know. Whatever arise, it pass away. You know, it's very transient, like Radio say. You know, there are no reality one. It's empty. You know, Radio. It's empty. So it showed to me, my lumpy head, that so-called lumps or I don't know whether you call it growth or lumps or like a small hill, molehill, all over my head, and the soft jelly part that I thought about my head, right? All arise and pass away one by one, one by one, one by one. You
Wah,
know.
sadu.
One by one, one by one. Wow, I tell you, that was so marvelous. I see all these things happening. So it's really
Sadu.
empty. Whatever perception you see, mental perception you see, through your consciousness, it's all transient and empty totally, you know. Okay, brother. So there's so that is what happened, brother. And
Sadu.
it was like, oh, so amazing, the event that leads one to another. It keep continuing. Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you something, brother. You see, I don't even have time to say, I must meditate, I know that kind of
No,
thing,
no
you know.
such thing, no need.
There's no such thing, no, brother. It's like, what am I to do next? No such thing, one, no. It's just everything unfold by itself naturally. The dharma just
It will go
unfold by
through,
itself naturally.
and it will manifest.
It's just manifest by itself to show it to you. You know, it's like, you know, magic, lah, you know. It's not magic, lah. It's just inconceivable, lah, I would say, you know, that one thing lead to another, unfold by itself in the true mind, you know, brother, you know. Yeah. You see, when that's why I say, when meditators meditate, right, even though you do not see anything, don't be despair, because that is the building block, for you to develop the stability, to insight into a very, very, how to call it, inconceivable phenomena, you know, that will help you to open up the Dharma door for you.
Definitely, yes.
So that is what happened, you know, that you
Very
can
good, very
pass the
good.
test, you know, you can pass the test, you know. Wow. So to me, that was like incredible, amazing, and inconceivable experience, you
The word is
know.
inconceivable. It will manifest and it will happen. Then it will show it to you one.
So that was what it happens, like, you know, that all this illusionary world of consciousness is not real, you know, it really tells you in through mind. That is not real, no reality, nothing one, no. So it's like it
Correct.
just manifest and show you, pop, 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 and wow, it was just like awakened. Wow, so amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why that nature is very, very amazing. When you really go in with the stability, then you truly understand what that one is. Then when you come out of it, the phenomenal world's condition arising phenomena has got no power over you. And all your understanding will fall into place where you see things differently, right? Completely differently. And that understanding and the awakening can actually give rise to a lot of manifestation. I remember in the early day, I also share with you all that time, I think, not long after 89, I was also having my bath at that time. The pure awareness that nature was different, so stable, then everything I went through is like that nature and the thing was one or everything. Then I finished off my bath, then I came out, then I realized I had become very different now, because the awareness nature has become like one with my nature now, and it's so intense and strong that my nature inside let my form and mind know this is what will happen when you go through the right transformation and understanding. Then as I come down from my upstairs master bathroom, I come down to the ground floor. Then I told you, I open up my front door. Then I look out into the car in front where I park. I used to have this Toyota Light East, the new one that I bought to fetch Ajayantra the other month. Suddenly, because I was in that state, all of a sudden the perception is zoomed through, that whole van missing. That the whole van disappeared. You may think it's like David Copperfield, but it's not really David Copperfield. But that one, my awareness, the perception, has gone beyond form. That's why that form disappeared at that time. Then I was thinking, how can that be? Then I want to check, because I thought it was just that moment. Then I look opposite, the other house at the bungalow opposite my house, the big floor with the corner lot also very big with a tree there. I just give it a awareness push. That tree also disappeared. Then I came back. Then I went back to my house. Then I realized this is something that my nature has gone through. Then when I immediately decide to go and check and see my second last teacher. And when I describe those things to her, you know what she said? I think she told me, I said, do you know this is your specialty, the mindfulness? You have developed it until the level where monk also cannot develop one, she said. So that one allowed me to go beyond the understanding of perception of form is consciousness, that one is mundane, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. But this one went beyond, beyond that pure perception through that pure awareness has reached a level of refinement where the form cannot stay there. No? Normally, even specific phenomena, awareness or the direct seeing, although the word not there, the labeling not there, but the phenomena is still there. But this one, because the energy is so high, it can actually cause that image within the form to disappear. Yeah. And technically the thing really disappears, because as a science student I know the light that can come into my eye and let me see beyond that form, you need to clear it, then only you can see. That's why I saw the car not the Toyota light is not only not there. Then when I look at the tree disappeared. Also, it went through, but it only happened during those time, those phase. It's for me to see that your pure perception or awareness, you can see beyond form. Means, like the Heart Sutta say, form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. And this one is at another stage, another level where it bursts through, it pierces through. Means all perception is not what you think. That's why when you are completely with that nature, that thing really, it can transform until that level of understanding of the perceptive ability of that true mind, the true nature. That one can break free from the pure direct seeing perception where the form inside also no more. Yeah. That's why after I went through that one, I went through a lot of other things. Then, like you say, the mind developed the understanding of how inconceivable things can be, you know. How like incredible that understanding can reach you. So all this, it will arise through your understanding. Then that nature become very different. Then you know this is not what ordinary cultivator can realize. One. And it has gone way beyond what cultivation is. That's why when I went through all those, I was not able to share because I only hinted you to your that awareness nature. There is a lot of very amazing thing inside there, very beautiful understanding that can come out of that cultivation and arise from that cultivation. Because that nature is very, very beautiful. It's completely beyond the what they call mundane consciousness or the thought process, or we call it the field of thought. This one is not only beyond thought, beyond mind. It has reached the cultivation level of going beyond the glimpse and all those things until it can illuminate that nature. And that nature, once illuminated, it transforms again. Or no? It becomes very different again. Or no? Then the wisdom energy and all the internal transformation and movement, it again gives rise to different type of wisdom and understanding which normal cultivator cannot do one, cannot realize one. That's why that nature is very amazing, very, very amazing. And what come out of it is really inconceivable. So do develop the faith, like what Pocheng said. When you do it correctly, things can arise. And when it arises, it's very beautiful, very amazing. For Pocheng's case, is a different manifestation for her to see and develop the understanding. That's why we all should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good, Pocheng. Yeah. Continue. Then after that, what happened?
Virgil, you're right. It's for me to see, learn, and understand. Because the transformation keep changing, keep moving.
It keep on evolving and becoming more and more inconceivable as you move.
It's so inconceivable. You can never imagine with your mundane mind or with your thought what is going on. I mean, it's no longer my usual way of meditation, it doesn't wait for you. The last year I still can say, oh, let me bathe and then I will come back to answer my nature's
Because it has moved on to another level of understanding.
Previously I can still negotiate with my inner awareness and say, okay, let me go and bathe, you know. And after that, come and do my meditation, you know, the kind of thing can negotiate some more, you know, the kind of thing. Now no more, you know, it's just just go and let you see. Hey, I was standing there. Because you see, when I notice my body and mind are transformed, changed, or shifted. I see something is going on. I have to stop and watch, witness
Yeah,
what is
yeah, yeah.
going on, This is what I can
And the
do.
whole
So
thing will
it's like,
happen like what you describe. The whole thing is like in don't know what word to use. The whole body and the awareness and the consciousness and what happened inside, they become like one. And the whole movement is like you say, very soothing and very healing one. And it transforms you. And you know a lot of things is going on inside there. So the awareness nature is already wise, intelligent, and it know what to do on. Then that whole movement, it will manifest by itself. I remember that time when I went through, I was like a car perfectly tuned. So all my physical body problem are all gone now. It's like a perfect human being now at that time. I was 35 years old at that time. Oh, the whole thing become one. Oh, this thing also can happen. It really inside tell me. This is really beyond the comprehension of normal being, normal cultivator of the way. And that whole thing can transform until it's like your nature will know. It's like your whole body has become perfectly tuned until no vibration, no sound. Like the engine smooth, just like the EV car now, you cannot hear the vibration. It's like a perfect human body, and I felt like I have never been so perfect before. That's why that healing ability, when you first locate it and when the transformation happened, it is marvelous, and it will tune your physical and your consciousness vibration until it become very fine. That's why finally within 9 months, my mundane mind collapsed. And when my mundane mind collapsed, that true pure nature shine forth, then the whole thing manifests. Then that form and mind that is together with the transformation that take place, the form and mind will understand. That you will know what this thing is. That's why the Buddha call it Pajetang Veditabo Vinuhiti. Because that nature cannot come out and live life, cannot speak, cannot talk, no word, nothing. But the form and mind that is connected to it will understand what has gone on. And the wisdom will be like within the nature that will manifest spontaneously when the form and mind need to, the understanding to live life and to confronting and understanding. That's the amazing part of that understanding. And that transformation process, that's why I say you cannot find even in books. Hardly anybody can write about it or describe it. You have to go through this type of cultivation. You really need to go through the Supreme Vehicle teaching, the Bodhisattva way. You must locate the gateway to your nature and go in to transform from within, then move from there. And that phase of the cultivation is completely beyond the sainthood way. Not only beyond the thought-based meditation, even beyond the sainthood way of awareness. The initial stability of sati or mindfulness, where they have a glimpse of what that pure awareness nature is, they haven't developed the ability to go in to actually detect the gateway and develop the internal transformation and manifestation or movement within. All those they haven't touched. That's why that understanding will manifest, then you will know this is the cultivation where very rare, hardly any cultivator of the way can really go until that level or that depth or comprehend. So this is the part where even my last guide told me, he said, Teo, do you know to come to this level to understand that there is a gateway to go in. Most people, if they, by the time they found it or locate it, they already 80 years and beyond. That was what he told me, you know. The youngest, he said, also 80 and beyond. He said, very, very rare can you find beings that can actually develop that ability to locate it so early. So this is what awareness-based meditation is. It's very unique and very different from normal type of cultivation. But normal approach, they use the thought process to go in and various type of skillful means or expedient devices. Then from there, they try, they do all sorts of so-called thought-based meditation. Then they finally force themselves into energy field. A lot of them go through energy field and thought-based. That's why they hardly have the understanding of what the awareness base is until their daily mindfulness become very stable. Then they start to develop their ability to see things as they are while in the midst of life. Heedfulness in the midst of life. And then they awaken to the sainthood way. Then they develop the understanding until avijja, also no more, means the arahantaship. They realize. But most of them, if without the sasana, after they realize that, they thought finish, no more already. That's why only during the sasana, where the great beings, they are still around. And they can actually bring forth the understanding of this bodhisattva way. That's why this sasana, the window, the teachings are still around. And through that, there are possibility of those cultivators of the way that have their past, have their affinity with all these great beings. They will have the causes and conditions to connect to that supreme vehicle teaching and move on from what they have cultivated in the past. And this type of being are rare, although rare, but when you are in this particular field, when you are going through this cultivation, you will encounter a lot of this type of great beings, even Samasambuddha. That's why you pay attention when we share the Lotus Sutta. You remember, even Sariputta, his prediction to become the Samasambuddha in the distant future by that name and all thing. And his sasana is a very unique one. And he himself also by then would have met with countless Samasambuddha. And all these are shared in the sutta. That's why when you really go on this path, you will encounter a lot, even though they are very rare. But because your cultivation has reached that level of understanding and affinity that you are with those beings, understand? Initially, the sainthood way, you remember Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, verse 22, the wise one will intend on heedfulness and we will rejoice in the rhyme of the Arya. So this one is the sainthood way, rejoice in the rhymes of the Arya. But when you go the bodhisattva way, you will not only rejoice in the rhyme of the Arya, you will rejoice in the, what they call, rhyme of the four pusa, the great beings. So all the great beings and the Samasambuddha. That's why in the 10 Dhamma rhyme that Master Xuanhua shared in the Theravada, Mahayana tradition, they call it the 10 Dhamma rhyme. So the first five, is the normal willful rhyme plus the four willful rhyme plus the human rhyme. And after that, they have the heavenly rhyme, Tian Fa Jian. Then after that, They got four more rhyme now. The first one is a rhyme of the sound hearer. Sound hearer. Means sen wen, they call it sen wen. These are the aria that listen to the four noble truth. Then from there they awaken the sound hearer. Then they got the Pacheka Buddha rhyme. The eight rhyme. The rhyme of the Pacheka Buddha. Yan jiao and du jiao means some when they come during the sasana, they have the what they call 12 link teaching, Patijasamapada teaching, then they awaken to it. Some they come during non sasana and they through their own understanding they awaken to it. Then the ninth rhyme is the Pusa Fajie. Pusa Fajie means the rhyme of the Bodhisattvas. Then you have the final one, the 10, is the rhyme of the Buddhas, Sammasambuddha. So earlier on, Dhammapada verse 22 mentioned, the wise one who intend on heedfulness, they will rejoice in the rhyme of the Arya. The Arya means the sound hearer and the Pacheka Buddha rhyme. Whereas the Pusa Fajie and Four Fajie, these are the rhyme of the great beings. The great beings. So when you go to the supreme vehicle, cultivation and the teaching, these rhyme of beings, which are very difficult to encounter, Pusa Fajie, Four Pusa Fajie, that one will manifest. And you will continuously encounter them, meet up with them, because of your understanding. You know how to invoke the affinity, the vows and all those things, and you keep on receiving their what they call blessing, protection and guidance. That's how you cultivate affinity with them. And their nature is ever radiating for this cultivator of the way. Well, they also know. That's why they make all those special vows to help beings develop the affinity with them and receive their support and blessing, guidance, and protection. Protection is for the form and mind. So all this you will come to understand as you go in deeper and deeper and deeper in the cultivation. That's why all this understanding, the causes and condition has come out, and it is time for all this understanding to be shared with the world. That's why the way the question, the sharing is, it will manifest so that my nature will be able to share all this. So this is really beautiful. Puche, sadhu. You continue.
Yeah, sadhu, Radio. I learned something new today from Radio about these rounds of the Aryas for Bodhisattvas and versus the normal sinful way. Very interesting.
The rhyme of the Buddha and the Bodhisattva, four Pusa Fajie, that one seldom taught one. Only those who go through the supreme vehicle teaching training, later part only they realize that one is a very inconceivable and amazing one. That type of rhyme, very difficult to encounter. That's why we, those who are accompanying us to this Uthaisana, you can read about a lot of the Jataka story. Manjusri Bodhisattva, he liked to come in the way he manifests, his nature manifests, is in the form of beggar, the dressing not proper, like something like Kuan Yin, like that one. But this one is Wen Su. So sometimes you won't know one, they come in manifestation. Then when you are there, like I told you, 10 years ago, my nature was there. I can detect the Wen Su Pusa's nature's energy 20 kilometers away before my bus arrived. So the whole of the Uttaisana, the Bohimandala or Manjushri Bodhisattva means Daochang, they call it Daochang, the way place of Manjushri. It's very unique one. So this coming trip, you all who have already developed the awareness-based meditation and you have some form of understanding and stability, you will detect and you will draw and it will transform you all. Oh, with that energy, when you are there, you keep on drawing one. Because without you knowing, the whole thing will like engulf your nature. So then sometimes, like I used to tell Song, when your cultivation is not stable enough, sometimes the energy come too strong for you. But don't worry, continue to relax into it. Continue to let it engulf you. And like my last guy used to say, he used the word enjoy. He said, enjoy means relax and maintain awareness and stabilize it. Well, the more you relax, the more it go in. Then during that time when it go in, you don't have to know anything. Just let it happen. Then when you come back after the 8 or 9 days or 7 to 8 days, when you come back, the first thing that will happen is most of you will be very tired. After that, you have a very good sleep. So during that time, after you come back, that 1 or 2 months following it, you will come to know a lot of things has happened inside already. That transformation will actually help you to develop a lot of progress and understanding. It will keep on happening by itself. I remember last time when I was there, I came back. My whole nature inside my heart there become different again. Then after that, a lot of things happen. Then everywhere I go, I travel, where there is this four pusa or great beings nature, my nature can actually detect them. Then it can actually sometimes radiate for other cultivator or the way to draw. And this nature very strange, you know. It cannot be drained off. No matter how many people draw from your nature, the opposite will happen, you know. You know what is the meaning, you know? The opposite will happen. I mean, it's not like your normal understanding of physics, where people draw from your, let's say, your water tank or your reserve, then it will start to deplete and become like less and less and less. This one, that nature, never get depleted one. And the best thing is, the more people draw, the more enhanced it become one. Oh, it is very strange. So, you will go through all this and you will understand all this. It's very, very amazing and inconceivable. That's why there is no such thing as you people draw from me. So how? There is no such thought or nothing. And the more people draw, the stronger this nature becomes. And likewise, when initially it detect all this great beings nature, you will draw from them. Then when you draw from them, you rejoice and you thank them. That's why I teach you all how to develop this gratitude towards them. Pay respect, develop the gratitude, and thank them for their blessing, protection, and guidance, and request for their continuous protection, guidance, and blessing life after life, whenever your nature arises. Whether you choose to come or you have to come, you develop that understanding. Then this thing will continue to manifest on its own. And that's the reason why I say a lot of these things, when there is no causes and conditions, I cannot share. But when there are causes and conditions, the nature can share. And all this understanding, unless you go through the cultivation, you cannot comprehend. Well, it's way beyond your thought can comprehend. But as you progress and you develop the wisdom, and then that mind that has the wisdom and understanding can comprehend very fast, and they will know this is beautiful. This is what can happen. It's no longer like inconceivable and all those things like, wow, oh, got such thing one man can like that one. No more doubt one. No. The cultivator will know one. This is what the real cultivation is. The true transformation, manifestation, and understanding, when they unfold, they are really wonderful, amazingly wonderful and inconceivable. That's why when we go to the Lotus Sutta, you remember? In the Sutta is mentioned, this Supreme Vehicle Teaching is very different. This one is so amazingly beautiful that that teaching, the new understanding of this teaching, the teaching is so profound, so supreme, and they use a lot of other words to describe it. So all this is really what is possible, and the normal mind cannot comprehend, cannot comprehend. Very good, Cheng, Sadhu. You can continue with her, sorry to interrupt. Yeah.
No, no problem, but yes. Sadhu, Maha Sadhu, right? Yes. This teaching is really, really profound, you know, right? Yes. I mean, when you say about no more doubt, I mean, it's not that it's not that I have any doubt or we have any doubt, but rather the mundane mind, like right, you say, the normal mind cannot comprehend.
Cannot comprehend.
Yes, the mundane mind cannot, the normal mind or mundane mind cannot comprehend, you know, that such thing is possible, such thing can happen in our cultivation, you know. That is the surprising part of it. I mean, we are cultivators ourselves. We are, I mean, I won't say that I'm not surprised. I'm surprised and I said, wow, such a wonderful thing, you know. That is, not that I said I have any doubt, but it's just that, how you say that, the normal mind cannot comprehend.
Yeah, cannot comprehend. It's like last time, you remember, in the early days at the retreat, I used to tell you all, a lot of people thought these are fairy tale, the one that we describe, the encounter and all those things, like everything fall into place. Such happening can take place on spiritual trip and cultivation, all those things. Then later on, I even share, you may think it's fairy tale, but the actual happening is more fantastic than the fairy tale. Fairy tale also cannot do it like that way. Because like I say, if they allow you to plan your life, you cannot plan it so well, because there is no such understanding from the mind to do that, no, unless you have that cultivation, and that cultivation's nature at that time has that wisdom and understanding, and it set forth the causes and conditions for nature's law to take over and create the manifestation. That's why if you were to plan it, let's say nature gives you the condition to plan it, you can never plan it in such a way that it can become so beautiful. That's why I say what turned out is more fantastic, even more fantastic than fairy tale. Fairy tale also, when you understand what has really unfolded and become possible, fairy tale is nothing. No. Fairy tale is what normal people cannot believe, cannot understand. But them is fairy tale. Where got such thing on? How can it be possible? But at their level, they think like that. But when you reach the level of the four pusa cultivation or the supreme vehicle, you not only don't think like that, you will come to know that even if nature let you plan, you cannot plan the thing to happen in such a manner. The thing that manifests is even more wonderful and amazingly manifested than any cultivator who are given that power to plan. They also cannot plan until like that. Because this is based on wisdom, causes and conditions, and all the understanding that make it possible. Like the latest book, I think we are going to print it out after our China trip come back. And that one you read through, inside there I describe how this has become possible. Because the nature has set all this. That's why it unfolds until like that. It's like a fairy tale also cannot be like that. It's more fantastic than fairy tale. Then also like I used to share at that time. For all this to become possible is really like inconceivable. And yet it has manifested and become what it is within just less than 20 years of my nature's coming out to share. And all this has fallen into place. And like I predicted since 2017, when I started the Supreme Waker teaching, the Bodhisattva way of saying, then as the year go by, I keep on telling you all the Kayamita force, the consciousness has evolved and has become very different. And a lot of things will happen. And you look back, really, the last 7 to 8 years, fantastic transformation, level of understanding, and the way the Kayamita that has made progress move is really amazing. And all this will keep on evolving and transforming. And this sasana, this window, is going to be a very unique and very, very beautiful window. That's why I make full use of it. Develop the faith, sadha, virya, then sincerely persevere, cultivate. Yeah. This window is very beautiful, very important, and most of you all will make it. And you all will have your, what they call, understanding unfold when the time comes. Then this light, if you hit it right, develop all the vow, the causes and conditions, then all your future coming taken care of. And in no time, you all will progress and become very beautiful cultivator of the way and beings. So sadhu to all. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, Pucheng, you continue.
Yes, Radio, what you said was really true. I just want to like re-emphasize or reinforce what you said, you know. Nature let me plan, or I have the power to plan. I will not be able to even plan and manifest all those things, because like what Brother Tio said, it's based on wisdom. It's not
you from cannot make it so perfect one.
So limited, you know.
What
you know is so limited.
Like so even your progress, take yours for example, it let you plan also, you cannot plan until like that. But it will unfold by itself, no?
Yes, correct.
And you like gong, you attend the retreat and all say, then suddenly 2020 you decide to become serious, then MCO come, no? Then it like put lang sui on you, no? So you think, after determining, but it was a blessing in disguise, because after that, because of MCO, we go to the Heart Sutta, that 8 months of Zoom, that detailed explanation, let you develop the causes and conditions to understand, and because you are so sincere, clean slate, you just follow instruction and that thing happened. Let you plan, you cannot plan until like that one. But nature is so beautiful. Yeah. Then after that, you keep on progressing, transforming, and a lot of the sharing and the sharing of the cultivation and the transformation that you share over that 1 or 2 years since 2020 onward was so beautiful. Then later on, when that retreat become possible again, I think, was last year, I think, 2023, the August retreat. It was so beautiful. Then after the August was a year-end one, there's another one. Then
No,
now.
year 2022 first, brother.
Ah, 2022, yeah, the year end one. Then after that, 23, another one. Then this 24 one, not yet. 24 one is the coming one. So all these are, like I say, you let you plan also, you cannot plan and you like that one. That's why your sister will also know one. Wow, how come like that one? Like magic, you know, suddenly no next to nothing, suddenly you can transform and you like that. So all this is what nature's manifestation through the Dhamma is possible. Without all this understanding, all these are not possible. And you can look at all the cultivator of the way they progress, the way they learn, they are all different. You look at Alicia, Amy, they all song, they all those who are within the Kayamita group, the way they progress and learn, their background, all different. But they manifest so beautifully. And now there are new people who don't know me. They keep on contacting my nature and become part of our Kayamita group. So all this will continue to evolve and manifest. Very good. So Jake, you
yes.
can you can continue. There are 3 more
yes.
minutes to go.
Yes. But yeah, I want to mention one important point here is that you mentioned
yes.
Earlier on but didn't use the word lah. But I want to use this word to emphasize the point. You know, when I were inside this pure awareness, the true mind, right? So this pure energy keep coming, right? So and because of this manifestation that happened by itself, right? I would say this is trust, you know, Bradio. Because this
trust.
That
is
trust. This is
correct.
Trust.
Yeah.
So I want to
trust.
Emphasize to Kayamita, this is trust that it
yeah.
moves by itself without the interference from the thought.
Yes,
there's
from
no
the
thought.
Thought process, the memory.
Yes. Yes. There is no interference from the thought or from a memory. So this
the
trust
memory,
it
the
will
thought
just
process, the views, opinion,
itself.
Conditioning. It
Yes.
moves by itself. But that
Yes.
nature that transform and move, it know what to do one. It is not a being, but it's a nature. Where that nature has all the understanding and the perfection. That's why the spiritual nature, it will know what is best for you. And that one can only manifest when you are completely silent without thought. Then the gateway open up. Then the whole channel receive the yin-yang external energy. And whatever that melt through become pure energy within that nature. And that is the pure energy that you need to transform the internal awareness nature's activity and movement. And as you move through that gateway, a lot of things will happen. And that itself will take quite a while. Then after that, when that thing become like more or less full and saturated, then the internal cultivation, movement, manifestation will happen. That's why there is a lot of transformation inside. And it will happen by itself. That's why that trust, that force support is very, very important. And very few people can understand and do it. To develop that ability to trust that nature means no interference at all. Then that movement just moves by itself. So that is really beautiful. Thanks for sharing that part, Puching. Remind the Kayamita, the cultivator of the way. Yeah, you summarize, then we can end.
The other thing I want to say is the relaxed part of it. The
relaxed
part of it is the most important before anything can happen. You know, that is
yeah.
the important. And then, of course, this trust is after you have developed your
stability
stability
or awareness, yes.
Correct.
And your gateway where you can actually go in already. Otherwise, the trust will not come in yet. That's why I say
yes,
don't
yes,
do it the
correct.
Same way. You don't
yes.
need that trust.
Yes, yes. You can access the gateway, you know, you can access the gateway, you know, to your true mind, and then things can manifest automatically by itself through via the trust, you know, that what you emphasize. So you can see all this being unfold and manifest by itself, which is so amazing, inconceivable. that the normal mind cannot comprehend that part,
Sadhu.
Yeah, even for cultivators of the way like us, as we develop, initially we were surprised, but after a while we understand more and more, right? So we no longer surprised. So our mind is very steady, Bratio. See, whatever it is, we see, we are not deceived or deluded by
Correct.
it at all. No. We are very steady, unwavering, collected. The sky can drop, and nothing will happen to us. That, I mean, that is the extreme part of the analogy, but it's just telling you the mind is unwavering, collected. Yeah. So to summarize, right, Bharatiya, what I want to say is, so sati sampajana in daily life activities very very important. No? So
Yeah,
for
sadhu.
cultivator, the ways, right? So we need to emphasize on this part, keep doing it. And keep the, I mean, when you do this, right, please must relax, relax, relax. Mind
Relax
cannot
and
go,
maintain the faith, the sincerity.
Correct,
Then
correct,
just
correct.
do, persevere.
Yes, yes, yes. So, that, I mean, the rest of it will fall by itself. Once
It will
we have
fall
this,
into place by itself.
Yes, so we just need to relax and develop our mindfulness in daily life activity, beside the formal meditation. That's very important. So I would encourage everybody to, like Brother Teo said, have faith, sincerity, and continue to persevere. Rain or shine,
Sadhu.
just do it. Just rain or shine, just
Sadhu.
do it. Okay.
Sadhu.
Last but not least, Brother Teo, I'd like to pay respect to Brother Teo for this
Sadhu.
wonderful Dharma teaching, that without
Sadhu,
this, I'm
sadhu.
not able to go through such cultivation that is so unique and marvelous. Thank you, Kanan.
Sadhu, Kanan.
Sadhu.
Sadhu.
Yeah, so
Rejoice.
I will pay the respect to Brother Teo.
Okay, can, can. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will do the closing puja, sharing our merits. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itta wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya Idang me nya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Devo asat kalena sasa sampati hetu cha. Fito bawa tu loko cha. Raja bhavatu dhammiko imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy one. Then we end the whole Zoom session. Thank you.